Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bukharus Daf Chof Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We will be starting our shiur from the top line of Daf Chof Hey. However, before we begin the shiur, we will notice that we have a topic heading in the outside margin. In our Shas Ozer, we provide topic headings and structural notes when needed. In this case, the topic heading, in general, of course, are referred to by the term Nosei, and structural notes are referred by using the term Mivneh. In this case, our Nosei reads, Mahi Shitas Rav B'dovar She'eno Miskaven. What is the opinion of Rav when it comes to an act done? More often, the topic comes up in Yom Tov or Shabbos, but it has ramifications for other areas of halacha, an act done without intent for its outcome. Without intent, even though a forbidden outcome happened to take place, when one was doing the particular act, he did not intend for that to happen. How this relates to our Gemara, this, of course, we discussed during the last shiur, the latter part, the end of our previous shiur. We were discussing the removal of the hair of the neck of a bechor v'almum, or a bechor in general, before the shechita of the bechor. One is forbidden to shear an animal. However, if his intention of removing the hair is for slaughtering purposes, so we saw in the Mishnah Daf Chof Talad Amud Beis, in the name of Rabbi Yosi ben Amshulim, that one is allowed to move the hair aside in order to enable the shechita to take place. There shouldn't be a problem of chaloda. The Gemara had discussed what's the reason behind that, what's the savora behind it, and we also were asking, would such an action of moving hair aside on the neck in general, regardless of Bechor, in general, slaughter on Yom Tov, would that be allowed? It is allowed, of course, to slaughter for eating purposes on Yom Tov. However, would it be mutter to do this action of hair exposure, hair removal, in anticipation of a shechita of Yom Tov? So the Gemara's conclusion in our last discussion was that it would be allowed, and it was reported in the name of Rav that it would be allowed. And the reasoning behind that is because when one is moving the hair aside for the purposes of shechita, even if the hair gets removed, his intention is not for hair removal, which would be a problem of malacha, a forbidden activity on Yom Tov. His intention is to enable the shechita to take place properly. And if hair happens to get removed, he didn't intend for that. So it comes out that shitas rav would be that dovar she'ein miskaven is mutter. Now, on the heels of that discussion, we pick up our Gemara at the top of Chof Hey Omid Aleph. Omar Umi Omar Rav Hochi, would Rav have ruled thusly? The Omar Rav Chiyo Bar Ashi Mishmei Da Rav. Rav Chiyo quotes in the name of Rav, Mesukraya Dinazaisa Osir Lahaduke Biyomatova. A description of this activity here is imagine a barrel of wine, and it has a hole in the side that serves as a spigot to enable the wine to come out, and if he wants to plug up the hole, he does it by stuffing a rag or a piece of material into the hole. So when he removes this rag, you can imagine it's this rag that serves to stuff the hole is saturated with wine. In order to stick the rag back into the hole, it will involve a certain amount of pressure to get a rag which fills the hole and to stay in there as a stopper. In the course of stuffing the saturated rag into the hole, you will in effect be squeezing out absorbed wine material. That is what we call schita. There is a problem of removing absorbed liquids that are absorbed in various substances. In this case, the rag is absorbed with wine. So as we can see in this source, the word nezaisa or barrel, so the misukraya, the word secher, samach, chof, resh, is something that is a stopper, like a dam of water is a stopper of the water. So the misukraya de nezaisa, the bottle, the barrel stoppers, Osir lahaduke b'yom tov. It's osir to fasten it in the hole on Yom Tov. And why is that? Even though the person's kavanah is not for squeezing out, for doing the act of schita, nevertheless, it Rav says it's forbidden to do that. So we see from this that an act that even though its outcome is not intended, it is still forbidden. The Gemara responds, "Bahahi, in the case of Mesukraya de Nezaisa, that's not really parallel to the case of the hair on the neck of the animal. Because in that case, Afilu Rabbi Shimon Moideh, even Rabbi Shimon, who is lenient in the argument between he himself and Rabbi Yehuda regarding Dovar Shein Miskavein, Rabbi Shimon rules Dovar Shein Miskavein is allowed, Rabbi Yehuda holds it's usur. Nevertheless, even Rabbi Shimon, who takes that lenient opinion, Moideh, he will concede that the rag bottle stopper or barrel stopper is forbidden. Dabai Varovo, Diamri Chavayu, they both agree in analyzing these Tanoim, in analyzing Shitas Rabbi Shimon, they both say, Moideh Rabbi Shimon, Bipsik Reishe Velo Yomus. Rabbi Shimon, who, as we said, was generally speaking lenient, he will concede that when a forbidden outcome is inevitable, and that's what's meant by the term Psik Reishe, it's literally a case of someone wanting the head of a chicken to serve as a toy for his child, and he removes the head thinking that the chicken is not going to die, since a head cannot be removed from a chicken without its death, so the death is inevitable, and hence it would be forbidden to seek reshe, to cut off a head and think without the intention of it dying, because as we just said, since the outcome is inevitable, it would be forbidden to do that on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Likewise, with regard to the rag being stuck into the barrel, it's inevitable schita is unavoidable. The squeezing out of the absorbed liquid is unavoidable, and hence it would be forbidden. So that Rav could take a position up to at this point that Dovar Shein Miskavein is in fact mutter, and hold that the Mesukraya de Nezaisa is also. You know, now you'll ask, what about the hair removal case itself? Isn't that also, aren't you removing the hair? So Rashi explains that in the case of Shechita, what you're really doing is you're moving the hair from side to side. You're not pulling out the hair. It is possible to have a clearing on the neck of the animal for enabling Shechita to take place without the knife being covered by the hair, by simply parting the hair. As one who combs his own head of hair, he doesn't necessarily remove hair while he's combing his own hair. If hair gets removed, that's called Dovar Shein Miskavein, but it's not parallel to the case of the Mesukraya de Nezaisa, and hence Rav could hold that the clearing of the neck hair of an animal on Yom Tov would be allowed, and at the same time agreeing that the Mesukraya de Nezaisa case, since that's an unavoidable outcome, would be forbidden. However, the Gemara asks, this question lasts about 5 lines. You can see we have a long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, where we will show that Rav does not hold like Rabbi Shimon, where Rav is, in fact, strict with regard to Dovar Shein Miskavein. V'ho Omar Rabbi Chiyo Bar Ashi Omar Rav Haloch Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Chonon bar Ami Omar Shmuel Halacha Kribi Shimon. Now in our markings we've emphasized Rav's name. We see that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda that Dover Sheino Miskavein is Osir. As the Gemara goes on, the same point is repeated, just without the additional names. Rav Chiya bar Ovin Masni below Gavri, Rav Omar Halochi Rav Yehuda. You'll notice in this presentation, it's taught without Rav Chiya bar Ashi introducing Rav. Simply, Rav Omar Halochi Rav Yehuda. Ushmuel Halocha Omar Halocha Krebi Shimon. Here, again, you don't have Rav Chonan bar Ami introducing Shmuel. That's what was meant by the expression below Gavri. Nevertheless, it's the same point that Rav holds like Rav Yehuda. So, we have to now take account of what is really Shitas Rav. Elo li Oilam Rav, Sova Rav, Dover Shein Miskavein Osir. Rav really will take the opinion that Dover Shein Miskavein is Osir. V'tolesh Lav Hainu Gozeis. Now this phrase ties into what we discussed in our previous shiur, that the act of Tolisha, of removing hairs from the neck of the animal, is not parallel to Gozeis. And because it's not parallel to Gozeis, I understand that, and that's the reason why it will be mutter by a Bechor. The Torah forbids only Geziza, shearing, not mere hair removal. And in the case that we're discussing right now of having and getting an animal ready for Shechita, that's hair removal. Now, if that be the case, why is it mutter on Yom Tov? Just to review the point, if you're going to hold that Rav is of the opinion that Dover Shein Miskavein is Osir, and Tolesh is not Gozeis, but rather Tolesh is called Okir Dover Mimokam Gidulo, which is something that is forbidden to do on Yom Tov, Ubi Yom Tov Hainu Taima Deshori. On Yom Tov, the reason that it's mutter to do this hair removal or hair clearing. In anticipation of Shechita, why is it allowed? The Havile Oiker Dover Migidulo Kilachar Yad. It is the removal of something from its point of growth. That's Oiker Dover Migidulo, its point of growth. However, he's doing it in an unusual way. In the normal way might be by taking your hand and grabbing hairs and yanking them out. Here he's using a knife in moving the hair from side to side, and in the event that hair gets removed, it's done, that's called the unusual way. And since it's done in the unusual way, it's not doesn't come under the Yom Tov prohibition. The Gemara now asks, on a point we just made, is it really so that Tolesh Lav Hainu Gozeis? Is that really so that plucking something out is not equal to shearing, the Hotanya? We have the following source, HaToilesh Es HaKanaf, one who removes feathers from a wing, VaHakotmo, VaHamorto. These are different procedures that one will do to the feather in making it ready for a quill, let us say. So that's Kotmo and Moto. So one who does these things is Chayav Shalosh Chatois. He's guilty of three sin offerings as a result of, in doing this, Tlisha, Ketima, and Merita, these three things, he will be chayav three separate sin offerings in violation of three separate melachos if he were to have done these on Shabbos in a shogeg fashion. The Omar Reish Lakish, Tolesh Chayav Mishum Gozeis. And we've dashed underline this because this is the main point for our discussion. Tolesh is in fact a problem of Gozeis, and just like Gozeis is an Av Malocha, so to Tolesh is a Tolda of that particular Av Malocha. Koteim Chayav Mishum Mechatech. This has to do with cutting the feather down to a particular size, and that's a problem of Mechatech, which is the name of another Malocha on Shabbos. Memaret Hainu Chayav Mishum Memachik. Memaret has to do with removing the feathers from the central stem of the feather, that's a problem of memachik. We're not here to focus on all of these different malachos of Shabbos. We're focusing on what's important for our sugya flow, and hence we want to just focus on the comment made, Tolesh Chayav Mishum Gozes. So how can you say earlier that Tolesh is Lav Hainu Gozes? You'll notice that we've dashed underlined that just a few lines above. You can compare these two dash underlinings and you see the problem. The Gemara answers, Shiny Kanof. The case of the feather is different than the case of neck hairs. The Hainu Urche. That is the normal way of removing feathers. Tlisha Sear is the Tlisha of the Kanaf is a normal activity. However, the what we described before of removing the neck hairs from plucking out neck hairs from an animal is considered kilacharya. That's the unusual way of removing hairs. The usual way would be taking a special shearing scissors and shearing an animal's hair. But plucking it out, no. With the case of a feather, the normal way is to pluck out the hairs, to pluck out the feather. As we go on in the Gemara, Umidarav Sovar Kereb Yossi ben Hamshulin, we are now going to make an assumption that just like Rav holds like Reb Yossi ben Hamshulim, who spoke about the Bechor, that and the result being that Tolesh is not considered Gozes, Reb Yossi ben Hamshulim Sovar Lo Karav. Then we would like to assume that Reb Yossi ben Hamshulim will hold like Rav, that a Dover Shein Miskafein is Osir. Based on that assumption, this type of balance situation, if A holds like B, then B will hold like A, we now call this into question. The Gemara asks, is this really so? V'sova Rabbi Yossi ben Hamshulim dover shein miskavein osur. Now, as you scan ahead in the Gemara, you will notice that there are a number of triangles that appear, and they appear in varying directions. In order to appreciate what we are about to do, let us look at the side of the Gemara. We have a nosei, a topic heading, and we've written Nisayon Shel HaGemara, an attempt on the Gemara's part, Lahamid, to establish, to set up Rabbi Yossi ben Hamshulim, the Omar the Mutter Liklosh Cyrus Tzavasha Bukhar Likras Shitaso, who had said that it's mutter to remove the hairs, the neck hairs of an animal before its slaughter, that we want to set him up Kirav, the Inyan Dovar Shein Meskavein, Shuhu Osir, that Rabbi Yossi ben Hamshulim would agree with Rav's position that Dovar Shein Meskavein would be forbidden. Under our Mivneh heading, you'll notice triangles, and we've noted they are a ma'akav. Ma'akav is an attempt to keep track. With the point facing down, they represent kushios. With the point facing up, they represent tshuvos, responses. So now the Gemara asks, is it so that Rabbi Yossi ben Hamshulim holds Dover Shein Miskavein is Osir? V'hot Tanya, we have a Tanaic source concerning the issue of Pora Aduma. As many of you know, a paraduma, a red cow, this was a very special halach involving the taking of a cow who's completely red-haired, and using it for the purification of someone who was defiled because of contact with the dead, tumas mace. And as the rules are very strict when it comes to this red cow that's eventually slaughtered and burnt, whose ashes are mixed with water for the purification of a tomei mace. The source says, Shtei Cyrus, two hairs, Ikoran Ma'adim Veroshan Mashchir, where the base of the hair, in fact, is the desirable color. Ma'adim is red, but the top of the hairs are black. The black presents a problem. Rabbi Yossi ben Hamshulim Omer, and here is the name that we want to focus on. He says, Gozes b'misparayim v'eino choshesh. Now, the Pora Aduma is something that has been sanctified. And it says here, you can gozes b'misparayim, you can shear these hairs, and not worry about the problem of giza b'kotshim, because he is not miskavein. He doesn't have intent for for shearing. His intent is to make the he certainly is to make the poraduma acceptable by getting rid of the blackness. So why then if Rabbi Yossi ben Shum would hold like Rav that Dover Shein Miskavin is also so, then this should be prohibited. The Gemara says, in fact, Rabbi Yossi ben Shum may agree with Rav. However, shiny para, the case of the cow, is different. The lav bas gizahi, it's not something that lends itself to being shorn. It's not called giza at all. In other words, it's not a problem of giza having taken place without intent. This isn't even classified as giza. Giza is something you would associate with wool, but a cow doesn't have that type of hair. The Gemara asks on that, Veha Tanya, but we have the following Tanaic source which reveals that the shearing of hairs of a cow is categorized as giza. It says as follows: Lo savo b'vechor shorchov lo sagoyz b'vechor tzonecha. This pasuk is referring to prohibitions associated with the firstborn. And in the pasuk itself, it says, "You shall not work with a firstborn ox, nor shall you shear firstborn tzon, sheep, for example." The ainli elo shor b'avoda b'tzon b'giza. From the pasuk itself, I see a prohibition only with regard to working with oxen and shearing sheep. Minayin litain es ha'omur shel zeh bozeh es ha'omur shel zeh bozeh. From where do I know to apply the prohibitions written with regard to one kind of animal to the other kind of animal? Talmud loma loy savoid v'loy sagoyz. There's a vav in the pasuk where it says v'loy sagoyz. We've emphasized the vav with our marking. The vav is a type of connecting element. So we see from here that the prohibition of giza applies equally to a shor, to a cow as well. So we see that a para is a bas giza. And if you tell us that Rabbi Yosef ben Hamshulam is machmir by Dover Shein Miskavein, why is he allowing the giza of the syros of the para duma? And you can't say, like we said in our previous answer, that it's lav bas giza. Ella, new answer. And you'll notice we call this number 2 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. The numbers here are used to keep track of answers that the Gemara gives to the issue of the Pora Aduma. So the Gemara says, Ella, shiny Pora, the Koche Berek Habayasi. The reason that we have an allowance with regard to the parah is because it's a type of sanctity that's not korban related, but rather it's sanctified to the Berek Habayis, to the general temple funds. And as a result of that, we'll call it lower level of sanctity, so there is supposedly no prohibition of shearing it. The prohibition of shearing was stated in the context of sacrifices, not in the context of Berek Habayis, the temple funds. The Gemara asks, V'omar Rabbi Elazar, Koche Berek Habayis Asurim B'Giza Vavoda. Even if you say that this is a lower level of sanctity, nevertheless, it still is prohibited in Giza, in shearing, as well as working with it. So the Gemara tries to answer, Midrabbanan. That prohibition is only rabbinic. The Gemara asks, but vo'iko isu d'rabbonan, but that, isn't that still a problem? If there's a rabbinic prohibition, so how can the black hairs of the Pora Aduma be allowed to be removed? And all of this is making the assumption that Rabbi Yossi ben Hamshulam, who makes that allowance, holds at the same time, like Rav, that Dover Shein Miskavin is also, how can we resolve the two? The Gemara answers, this we call answer number 3, Shiny Pora Deloy Shchicha. Since we said that Giza's Kotshe Berek Habayis is an Issa D'Rabbonan, it's a rabbinic origin, the rabbis impose their prohibitions only on things that are common occurrences, things that are very infrequent, as is the case with a Pora Aduma. There were only few Pora Adumas over the course of Jewish history that were ever processed. Since it's something that's lo shchicha, something uncommon, the Rabbanan never imposed their restrictions upon that. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section. After the brackets, the Gemara reads Iboy Asema, and this we're calling number 4 and 5. And the reason for this is that there's some missing words in the Gemara, and we look to the Shita Mukubetzes, who adds a few words here. And the Shita Mukubetzes, Ois Hey, he says after, and we're reading the Gemara after the brackets, the Gemara there says, Iboy Asema Ki Israbi Shor. When the Torah says that the shor is included as being forbidden in shearing, that's legiza znovoihu this rabbi. It's only with regard to the shearing of its tail hairs. However, body hairs were never prohibited in the first place. And we above in Rav Yosi ben Amshulam dealing with the poradum was dealing with body hairs. Iboyis emo, and at this point you would go back into the Gemara text for a fifth approach. And the Iboy Seimo says very simply, Rav Sovarlok Rav Yosi ben Amshulam. Rav will accept Rav Yosi ben Amshulam regarding, he'll allow the removal of the neck hairs of a Bechor. However, Rav Yosi ben Amshulam lo Sovar lo Kerav. But Rav Yosi ben Amshulam is not bound by Rav. In other words, Rav may prohibit Dover Shein Miskavein, whereas Rav Yosi ben Amshulam allows Dover Shein Miskavein. And if you take that position, then the issue of the Pora Duma before poses no question in the first place. The whole reason we brought in the issue of Pora Aduma and the two hairs was to show that Rabbi Yossi ben Amshulam seems to allow Dover Shein Miskavein, and that would be a question on the position taken that he holds, like Rav, that Dover Shein Miskavein is prohibited. But if you come out with this conclusion, that Rabbi Yossi ben Amshulam allows Dover Shein Miskavein, so the case of the two black tip Pora Aduma hairs is and the allowance that Rabbi Yosef Shulam allows for that is fine. It fits into the whole scheme of things. Now, you'll notice we skipped a few lines of Gemara. This is what we call a bracketed section, and in order to see more easily the length of the bracketed section, we should have pointed this out earlier, we have a bracket length indicator. This is a vertical dash dotted line that in this case appears to meet it right-hand side of the Gemara text. You'll notice that though the lines of Gemara that are opposite this, you'll find in brackets. On the inside margin, we also offer an explanation of why we put these brackets in. And it reads as follows, Matrasa Sograyim, the purpose of these brackets is L'shem Dilug. It's for the purpose of skipping. The Litzor Retzef B'tshuvos Avur Rabbi Yosi Ben Amshulam. And to serve as an ability, enable us to see the series of answers with regard to the issue, the problem we raised with regard to Rabbi Yosi Ben Amshulam. Besoichon, within the bracketed section, Hagemora Matzia Kivun Acher L'Tipu Pora Aduma Shetzomach Lo Oysom Shtei Cyrus Sheroysham Hishchir. Within the brackets, the Gemara suggests simply a totally different approach to how to solve the problem of the Pora Aduma with the two hairs that sprouted on its back, that grew with black tips to it. Al Yedei Pidyon. The solution would be through redeeming it, thereby getting around the whole restriction of shearing holy animals. And yet, Vidocheu, the Gemara itself rejects this suggestion. So once again, structurally, what are we trying to accomplish? By skipping this bracketed section, we continue showing the series of answers that are given for the benefit of understanding Rabbi Yosi ben Amshulam. Within the brackets, there's a separate suggestion of how to solve the Pora Aduma problem, getting around the whole prohibition of shearing in the first place. So now we turn to the bracketed section and read, V'nifrike, why not redeem the Pora Aduma, V'lifka l'chulin, and thereby take it out of the realm of sanctified animals to the realm of chulin, the mundane, the common, V'ligzah, and once you've redeemed it, the redemption would take place by transferring the sanctity from the animal, from the Pora Aduma, onto cash value, of the equivalent value of the Pora Aduma. Transfer this sanctity onto the money, Veligza, then shear it, remove the black hairs, which at that point would be quite allowed, the Hadar Likdusha, and then buy the animal back, so to speak, with those funds, and thereby re-sanctifying it. The Gemara answers, the reason we don't offer this suggestion is Domeho Yikorin. It's very expensive. Many of you may be familiar with the story featured in Maseches Kedushin with the Gentile who happened to have in his flock a Pora Aduma. And without getting into the whole story, it's a very famous story, but nevertheless we see from that how expensive this was. So therefore the suggestion of setting aside money to redeem the sanctity would be something too difficult to request. The Gemara asks, the Levid law, Kiddush Shmuel, as far as redemption is concerned, if you follow Shmuel's rule, you don't really have to set aside a lot of money. The Omar Shmuel, Hektish Shove Monach, Shechua Shove Pruta Mechulo. Shmuel says that Hektish, sanctified items that are Shove Monach, they're worth, let's say, a hundred, and $100, Shechua Lo Al Shove Pruta, that you transferred it onto a penny, that's Mechulo, it works. In other words, redemption of sanctity will take place even if it's not done with an actual equivalent cash amount. The Gemara says, we can't do that over here because the whole suggestion of Shmuel is not something that's that one would be allowed to do at the outset. Amor, the Omar Shmuel, Sheh Chilulo. Shmuel says that's post facto. If one happened to do that, to offer a redemption lacking equivalency, then it will take place, it will take hold. However, lechatchila mi omar, did Shmuel say to do that at the outset, to do an inequitable sanctity transfer, redemption? And in order for that to be a solution over here, one would have to say, well, take a little bit of money and redeem the Pora Aduma onto that. And that would not be allowed, even according to Shmuel. At this point in the Gemara, we have basically solved the issue with several different answers with regard to the Shitas Rabbi Yossi ben Amshulam and where he stands relative to the issue regarding the issue of Dovar Shein Miskaven. We continue in the Gemara, V'tolish es haseor ubilvad shelo yazizenu mimekomo. Omar Rav Ashi, Omar Reish Lakish. Loi shonu elo biyad. The allowance of removing hairs is such. It's an allowance made only if you remove it using your hand. Avol bekli oser, but using an implement would be prohibited. The Gemara asks, v'hakotani oise mokom bekupitz mikan umikan, and a kupitz is a knife that's an implement. So the Gemara and the Mishnah says that you make room, you remove the hairs by using an implement. The Gemara answers, no, you have to use your hand. You have to remove it by hand. Tini likupitz, that you're making room on the neck, you're making a hair-free area on the neck for the knife. Not removing the hair with the knife, but for the slaughtering knife. As we said before, there is a problem in slaughtering an animal when the knife is covered by its neck hairs. So you're making room by removing the hairs by hand for the shechita knife. V'chein hatoilesh es haser lirois mum. There's an issue of removing hairs of a bechor in order to see whether there is a blemish on its flesh. That was a point mentioned in the Mishnah, and there was a point of allowance made for that. This allowance that the Mishnah makes for hair removal for the purpose of seeing, evaluating a flesh blemish, is this something that we allow at the outset, or is it something that is only if it's done post facto do we say it's okay, but we wouldn't allow it to be done at the outset? Rashi, in analyzing this, presents the two sides. Rashi, you can see we have a little diamond around the word in the Dibur Masel L'chadchilo Komar, V'hai V'chein Atoilesh Koi. And if you say that the removal of hair for witnessing, for evaluating a blemish, is something allowed as a L'chadchilo process. The word v'chein in the Mishnah is going on tolesh, on plucking out hairs. V'chihechi demutu lutlo shel tzorech ha-shechita, just like it's mutter to remove the hairs l'chadchila for shechita purposes, no pshita loch the resha l'chadchila komar. It's obvious that in the resha, in the first part of the Mishnah, which spoke about hair removal for slaughtering purposes, it means lichatchila. Hachinami, so too, the v'chein serves as a linking expression, means, and likewise, hachinami lir'ois mokomum, so too, the removal of hairs for viewing a blemish is also allowed lichatchila. Oi, the eved komar. Or maybe the Mishnah, when it speaks about hair removal, is speaking only post facto. The v'chein expression which links the seifa to the resha is not going on the allowance of removing the hair. Elo yezizenu, rather v'chein aloy yezizenu koi, is going on the expression made in the Mishnah of don't remove the hairs from the animal, leave them intertwined, entangled with the other attached hairs. And if you take this approach, the meaning of the Mishnah is as follows. Rashi says, "V'chein mi shetolash es aser liros es mokim hamum." So to someone who happened to remove the hair to view a blemish, nami lo yizizenu mekomu, nami being the key expression here, also like in the ratio, don't remove it from its spot. So that is what the Gemara is right now asking in its abbreviated way. The hair removal for viewing a mum, is it something allowed lechatchila or only post facto? Omer Reb Yirmiya Toshmas. Reb Yirmiya says we can answer this by looking at the following Tanaic source. And as you are aware, they in Gemara markings, the Tanaic sources, and we've seen already a few of them today, appear in frames. Tzemer hamesubach ba'oizen. This is a reference to an animal that has a mum on it. In this case, there is wool that's growing on the ear of the animal, and on the ear there is a mum. Rabbi Yossi ben Amshulam Omer, and here we have an important name because we're analyzing his shita. He says tolsho umara es mumo. Says straight out, remove the hair from the ear and show the mum to the expert. Shmamino lechatchila. Shmamino. From this Tanaic source, we see that with regard to mum observance, there is an allowance at the outset to removing hairs in order to and facilitate the viewing of the blemish. Omar Rav Mori af ana nami tanina. We have the Mishnah supports this conclusion as well. It, as it says, v'chein ha-toilish is aser lirois mokoimum. My v'chein. What is the role of the word v'chein as it appears in the source? Ilemo shelo yezizenu. If it's with regard to the request not to remove the hair from the body, meaning from the animal itself, leave the detached hairs intertwined or entangled with the other hairs. If that's the point, you don't really need the seifa to tell me that. Hashto uma shoyche dishchichosoy muchachas alov oimeres lo yezizenu. Mind you, in the case of slaughtering, where the act of slaughtering that takes place shows very clearly that the hair removal that he did was not for shearing purposes, and yet, even though it's so obvious that it's a non-problematic act, we still impose the restriction of not removing the hairs entirely from the animal. So, lirois mokom mum mibaya. Would I need to tell you that in that case, when it's an issue of simply making removing hairs for viewing a mum, which is less obvious that he's doing it for that purpose, would I have to tell you then also that there is this restriction? Just to go over the point again, mind you, in a case where it's obvious that the hair removal, when we say obvious, it's obvious through the shechita that follows, that the hair removal was not for shearing purposes, and yet we impose this restriction of leave the hairs on the animal. So in a case where it's less obvious that what he's doing is an allowed act, certainly we would impose this restriction. So the Sefa does not have to tell me the chain with regard to the issue of leave it entangled. El olav atoilesh shmamino lechatchila shmamino. Rather, it's going on the action of hair removal. That v'chein, just like in the Reisha, which spoke about hair removal for shechita purposes, that one is allowed lechatchila to pluck out the hairs, so too in the Sefer, which speaks about hair removal for viewing the mokomum, it's also lechatchila. And thusly, the Gemara concludes. Now, we go on to a new Mishnah. Before learning the Mishnah, we have a topic heading with a structural note. In this case, the structure will be focusing on the Roman numerals 1 and 2 that appear in our markings. So on the outside margin, we have written the Nosei and the Mivneh. 1 and 2 are Seor Bechor Balmum Shenoshar, hair from a blemished firstborn that fell out. The acharkach, and after the hairs fell out, one of two things might happen. The first part of the Mishnah deals with shachto. After the hairs fell out, he then slaughtered the b'chor ba'mum. The second possibility is he never slaughtered it. The animal dropped dead. Mace. We will see machlokes chachomim v'akavya ben malalel I mutter. A controversy between these two tanoim: are those hairs that fell out, are they mutter? If we find out the hairs are usur, so we'll have to explain that as well. Now the Mishnah. Seor b'chor b'al mum. It should be pointed out, really, before we go on, that a blemished firstborn is something that is usur to shear, and it's as well as also to plow or work with. In this case, the person didn't shear it with intent for shearing, but rather they fell out. So this is Seor b'chor b'amum shenoshar v'hinichoy b'chaloin, and he left the hairs, he put the hairs in a window, like on the windowsill. V'achakach shochto, and then slaughtered the b'chor. Slaughtering a b'chor b'amum is something that one is allowed to do. Akavio ben Mahalel Matir. He says that those hairs are allowed to be benefited by the Kohen. The Kohen is the one who receives the Bechor Balmum. The Chachomim Oisrin, Divrei Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda is the first approach to this Mishnah, where he features an earlier machlokas tanya between Akavim and Halel and the Chachomim, and your Rebuta reports that the Chachomim will say that those hairs are usur. We glance at the Rashi at the top of Omid Beis, the Chachomim Oisrin, the Isharis, if you were to allow Semer Hanosheris Mechayim, hair that falls out while the animal is still alive, well, Asi Lishuye Lebechor, it could lead to people delaying the slaughtering of a Bechor, Bechor Balmum, Kadesh Toshir Tzemer Kol Shah, so that they would benefit from hair that falls out all the time. The Asi Bei Lidei Takola. This can lead to a person making a mistake. She Yigzois V'Avoy Boi. He'll come to actually shearing them lechatchila, and or being that the animal is left around because he has this incentive of benefiting from the hairs that fall out, he'll come to working with the animal. Upsua mukdashim asiri begizu avoda. Things, animals that become unacceptable for sacrificial purposes, as is the case of a blemished bechor, they are forbidden in gizon avoda. Karmina bepirkin deliel, as the we've learned already, Tizbach, the Pasuk says, Tizbach, you shall slaughter it, velo giza, and not shear it. We continue now in the Mishnah, after having featured Rabbi Yehuda's approach to the Machlokas, Akavya ben Malel and the Chomim, revolving around a hair that fell out of a Bechor Bamum that was subsequently slaughtered. Omar lo Rabbi Yossi, Lo bozeh hiter akavya b'mahalel. It wasn't in this case that akavya issues his ruling of leniency. Elo b'seor b'chor b'amum shenoshar v'nicho b'chalon. The same basic case of hair that fell out of a blemished b'chor that the hair was then put in the on the windowsill. The achar kach mace, here the markings emphasize the point of difference. And after the hairs were had fallen out, the animal dropped dead. It's in this case that you have the Tanaic controversy. As far as Rabbi Yossi's approach to the case of the Bechor being shechted after the hairs fell out, this will be featured in the Gemara. That point will be the subject of discussion. Continuing in the Mishnah, Semer Hameduldol Bevechor, these are hairs that are entangled in other hairs of a Bechor. However, the hairs themselves, these Semer Hameduldol are hairs that are no longer attached to the skin. They have become detached from the body, but they're still entangled. Es Shenire Min Hagiza Mutter. The Es She'eno Nire Min Hagiza Usser. We ought to point out that an animal, a Bechor, after it has been slaughtered, and which a Bechor Ba'amum is something that one is allowed to slaughter, then one is allowed to shear its hairs. The prohibition of shearing was a prohibition regarding a living Bechor. But here, we're dealing with an animal that has been shechted. However, prior to a shechita, hairs became detached. So the Mishnah says that hairs that appear, even though they're actually detached from their base, the point at which they're attached to the skin, nevertheless, upon looking at the animal, the hairs look at normal in terms of their positioning, equal level with the other regular attached hairs. That's what is meant by nira min hagiza. Those kind of hairs would be allowed. However, if you have a situation where before the animal was slaughtered, the hairs that became detached also were jutting out, and namely not level with the rest of the animal's hairs, those would be called eno nira min hagiza, and those would be forbidden. And of course, all of these issues are, will one get the impression that one is allowed to shear animals before they are slaughtered? Therefore, hairs that were jutting out too much, that looked separated while the animal is still alive, if we issue a leniency regarding those hairs, people will think that it's mutter in general to shear a Bechor. However, if the hairs never looked unusual, namely jutting out too much, so there would be no restriction. The Gemara now makes a diuk, or reference, to something mentioned on the second line from the top. When Rabbi Yossi introduced his approach to the Bechor whose hairs had fallen out, he had mentioned, in contrast to Rabbi Huda, not in your case does Akavia allow, but rather in the case of the animal dying, he allows. From that presentation, one would get the feeling that Rabbi Yossi will be strict. In other words, in Akavia ben Malala, who is featured as the Tana, presenting the lenient position, it would sound from the Lashon, from the expression of the Mishnah, that as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, Akavi Mahalel is making his allowance only in the case where the Bechor dropped dead. And that is very, very hard to understand. The reason being that a Bechor that drops dead remains forbidden. One has to bury it. It's a case of kachim, that as a Bechor could not have been redeemed in the first place, and it never received the allowance of eating through slaughtering, because it died before you ever slaughtered it. How in the world could a situation of prohibition result in a lenient ruling by Akavam Alel, and a situation of leniency result in anything less than that, anything more strict than that? Now, the Gemara. Between the lines, we've inserted the missing words from the Mishnah that the Shita Mekubetzes adds, Lo bozeh hitir akavya. So the Gemara now asks, with a tone of tmiha, of wonderment, Mechlal da osar, would Akavya ben Mahalalel forbid in the case of the animal being shechted, like in the case of the Resha? Hashto b'mei shori, mind you, in the case of the animal dropping dead, the Bechor dying, he allows, as Rabbi Yossi said, shachto mibaya, where the animal, where the Bechor is shechted, where the Bechor Balmum is slaughtered and made allowed, would we need to be told that Akavya would allow that? That's certainly allow that case. So how could the Mishnah be left as it is, leaving us with the impression that, as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, that in the case where the animal would be slaughtered, Rabbi Yossi, Akavya Mahalalel would prohibit. Can't be. Elo hochi ka'omar. Rather, we now present a new understanding of what Rabbi Yossi was trying to accomplish when he appeared in the Mishnah. And in Gemara markings, when we have restatements of Tanaic sources, we feature them with frames as well. And we understand as follows. Lo boze hiter akavya v'chachomim osur. And here the emphasis is on what was the chachomim position. Now we know that the chachomim took a strict position with regard to the hares. So what Rabbi Yossi is saying, it's not in this case, namely the case of Shechita, that the Chachamim would issue their restriction. Ela b'shachto divrei hakol shori. But rather, in the case that the Bechor Balmum was slaughtered after the hares had fallen out, everyone, even the Chachamim, would agree that it's mutter, that those hares are allowed. Ki pligi b'meis. The whole controversy arises only in the case that the Bechor, whose hairs had fallen out, happens to drop dead and not go through any level of allowance. And even so, Rabbi Yossi will tell us that Akavya even will allow those hairs. And it's only there that the Chachamim prohibit. And that's the point of difference between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. The machlokis revolves around what is Shitas Chachamim in the case of a Bechor Balmum that was slaughtered. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim will aser, and according to Rabbi Yossi, the Chachamim, along with Akavya ben Mahalalel, will allow. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, only in the case of the animal dropping dead, only there does an opinion of the, does the Chachamim restrictive opinion surface for the first time. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, that explains, that features what the Gemara will be discussing. And we have written, Dino Shel Reish Lakish. We're reading from our note in the outside margin. Reish Lakish's point, or his halacha, Machloikis Hatanoim Legabi Ser Bechor Shenoshar, the Tanaic controversy that we just finished learning regarding Bechor hairs that fell out, Hainu Dafka Kishatiru Mumcha Lifnei Nishiroso. This applies only in a case where the Bechor that was featured as a Bechor Balmum in the Mishnah, a blemished firstborn, had received an allowance, approval of a Mum expert. He's called a Mumche. So that the whole case, as far as Reish Lakish is concerned, the whole Mishnah is referring to a Bechor Balmum that had undergone the checking on the part of an expert to establish that the blemish was an official blemish, a Mum Kavua. Avo lo hitiro mumche. If, however, we were dealing with a Bechor Balmum whose hairs had fallen out, prior to which it did not receive the approval of the mum expert, the blemish expert, divrei hakol osur, everyone would agree that those hairs are prohibited. So the focus point in the upcoming Gemara is the Bechor Balmum that was featured in our Mishnah. Was that a Bechor that had received Mumche approval before the hairs fell out? Omar Avasi, we turn back to the Gemara. Omar Avasi, Omar Reish Lakish. You'll notice we have a firebox around Reish Lakish. The firebox marking is a rare marking in our Gemara marking system because it features a particular shita or point that will preoccupy the Gemara for at least an omid of discussion, a whole page of Gemara or more. In this case, the preoccupation with Reish Lakish will continue on to Daf Chof Vav. So Reish Lakish says, Machloikis. Now, we've also, with our markings, we've used a double underline to feature the expressions Machlokes and Divrei HaKoil. Reish Lakish says, Machloikis b'shetiroi mumche. The Machlokes Tanoim applies only to a Bechor Baal Mum that had prior to the hair falling out, the Neshira Seor, had received blemish expert approval that this is a formal Baal Mum, a formal blemish or official blemish. Demor Sovar, Gazrinon Dilma Osi Leshuye, the Chachomim who are restrictive in the Mishnah with regard to the hairs that fell out, say, even though the Bechor received Mumche approval, if we allow these hairs that fell out before its Shechita or Misa, if we were to allow them, that will create an incentive for people to keep the Bechor around and not to shecht it in anticipation of benefiting from additional hairs that fall out. Hence, and we don't want you to keep a Bechor around, a Bechor Baal Mum, because if one keeps it around, he may come to shear it or to work with it, and that's prohibited. Umor Sovar Akavi ben Mahal Halel, who is lenient, says Loi Gazrinon, that we don't make this gezera. We don't ban the hairs that fell out in anticipation of him coming to do something wrong in the future. Avol lo hetiru mumche, and here we've dashed underline, this is the main point that we will analyze as the Gemara continues. If you're dealing with a Baal Mum, a Bechor Baal Mum, a firstborn male animal that appears to be blemished but did not receive expert approval regarding the blemish as being a Mum Kavua, as being an official blemish that allows the slaughtering of this animal. If it's lo hitiro mumche, divrei hakol osir, everyone, even a kavim al halel, will say that you cannot benefit, that the kohen cannot benefit from those hairs that fell out. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice some additional markings. There is a triangle that appears, and we have this explained on the side of the Gemara under our Mivneh heading. The triangle, you can see, it says, Kushyos al Reish Lakish. These will be points of challenge to Reish Lakish. A few lines later, we'll notice what we call a crown marking. This crown marking will highlight the names Rav Nachman and later Rav Yirmiyah. There, we will see a machlokes Rav Nachman and Rav Yirmiyah with regard to the explanation of a source that the source that Rav Sheshes will introduce into the Gemara right now. So we will possibly refer later to this particular crown marking when it's more germane. So the Gemara. Mosiv Rav Sheshes. We ought to note that this is a long question. We have a kuf encircled with a descending vertical dashed line indicating the length of this question. Mosiv Rav Sheshes. Bali Mumin Osrin Bekol Shehu. Bali Mumin are blemished animals. They can forbid, make prohibited a mixture, even if there's a very little representation of Baal Mum. We are deliberately being vague in what exactly this case is. That will be the subject of the Gemara. So in the meantime, we have this first opinion, Bali Mumin Osrin Bekol Shu, we'll call this a strict opinion, and a more lenient opinion, Rabbi Yossi Omer Yivukar. Yivukar in general has to do with checking out. V'havinon bo, and we ask, my yivukar, what is meant by that? Now, let's take this a little slowly. The Havamina, the initial understanding of this source, is talking about a Balmum, a blemished animal, that gets mixed up with many, many others, even a thousand other animals that are fit for the Mizbeach, in other words, korbonos. One Balmum that gets mixed up with many other korbonos. That's the Havamina. We will change this pshat later, but in the meantime, that's what we're saying. The question now is, if that be the case, what is meant by Yivukar? Let us continue in the Gemara. Ilema, if you are to say Yivukar, Oisoi Baalmum. Im Isei, Velishkele. Check out and find the blemished animal that's mixed in amongst the other sacrifices that are waiting for slaughter. And Yivukar would mean, well, then spot the Balmum, if you find it, take it out, and thereby leaving all the rest as being perfectly kosher sacrifices. If that's what Yivukar, that Rabbi Yossi says, if that's what it means, Mechlal de Tanakama Omar Loi, would the Tanakama say, otherwise would he say no? Once you notice where the Balmum is, then of course you pull it out. Why should all the rest of the animals be forbidden? If you recognize which one is the problem, what doubt is there regarding all the others? The Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabba Bar Avua, Hocha, this source that Rav Sheshes is introducing is not talking about a living animal, a living Balmum that got mixed up with other animals, but rather Begizas Bechor Balmum, we're talking about the shearings from a shearings, the hairs, the shearings from a Bechor Balmum Askinon, we are dealing with Askinon, we're involved with Shenis Arvu Begize Chulin. There is a mixture, but not a mixture of animals, it's a mixture of shearings. One, the shearings that came, that fell off, hair that fell off a Balmum, that got mixed up with shorn hair from mundane, from common animals, allowed hairs. Uman Tanakama, and who is the Tanakama in this source that Rav Sheshes brings in that seems to be restrictive? Rabbi Yehuda he, the Omar, this is Rabbi Yehuda that says, Bishochtoi Asri Rabbonan, that in with regard to hairs, and this we saw in the Mishnah, we have a little arrow to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text to be aligned with the arrow at the top line, where you can see this opinion. Rabbi Yehuda, who introduced the Chachamim as forbidding Bechor Balmum hairs that fell out, and hence you have this mixture of Bechor Balmum hairs that got mixed up with Chulin, they are all forbidden. That is Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. In this source, we see Rabbi Yossi, who doesn't need to be introduced. That's Rabbi Yossi that we saw in the Mishnah as well. Rabbi Yossi Litamei, and Rabbi Yossi is Lishitaso, is according to what he's ruled already earlier. The Omar, Bishochtoi Shoru Rabbonan. Rabbi Yossi said that in the case of a Bechor whose hair had fallen out but was subsequently slaughtered, Rabbi Yossi says even the Rabbonon would allow that. So we have a Tanaic source with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi presenting their opinions of the Rabbonon with regard to hairs of a Bechor Balmum that fell out. Rabbi Yehuda reflecting a strict opinion, and he is the unnamed Tanakama in Rav Sheshes' source, and Rabbi Yossi saying Yivukar. Now, Vikotoni Yivukar. Rabbi Yossi in saying, in reflecting a more lenient approach, he says Yivukar, which we meant check out. My Yivukar. What are we checking out? Lav Yivukar Bimumoi Lechochom I Mum Kovua Shori. Does it not mean that these hairs that we described, the hairs that fell out of a Bechor Baal Mum, that got mixed up with other hairs. Now they fell out at what point? At a point prior to the animal, to the Baal Mum, having been checked out for with regard to its mum by an expert. After the hairs fell out and got mixed up with other hairs, Rabbi Yossi is saying, listen, it's not a lost cause. Take the Bechor Baal Mum, take the animal itself. I don't know where its hairs are because it's mixed up with the others. But take this animal and have it now checked out. The Gemara continues, Af al gav shelo hitiro mumche. So we are in effect allowing these hairs, even though it had not received expert approval prior to their falling out. Now, that's a problem for Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish had said that if you deal with an animal, a Baal Mum, whose hairs fell out prior to a mumche issuing an allowance, everyone would agree that those hairs are forbidden. Here we see not so. Here we see, according to Rabbi Yossi, even though the Bechor did not receive a heter mumche before they fell out, it can now receive heter mumche. We can still subject it to mumche analysis, and still the hairs could be allowed. Omar Rava, Loi. Rava says this is not the approach. Rather, Yevukar means check out, I hetiro mumche in, v'i lo lo. Check out to see if there was prior mumche approval. And if you discover that there was prior mumche approval, then we can issue allowance, we can issue a leniency. However, if not, if it didn't receive prior mumche approval, then as Reish Lakish said, everyone will agree that those hairs are forbidden. As you can see, we have a bracketed section in Gemara. This is a long bracket, and the bracket lengthening indicator appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a vertical dash dotted line, taking it down to the second line from the bottom. At the end, after this bracket, you'll notice a triangle labeled number 2. This is a second question that will be asked on Reish Lakish. However, in the bracketed section of Gemara, you can see another crown marking appears around Rabbi Yirmiyah. We mentioned earlier, but now is the time to emphasize, Rav Yirmiyah will be arguing with Rav Nachman with regard to the Hesber, the explanation of the source that Rav Sheshes introduced. According to Rav Nachman, the source that Rav Sheshes introduced dealt with hairs of a Baal Mum that got mixed up with other hairs of Chulin. According to Rav Yirmiyah, the source is dealing with a mixture of animals themselves. And our note reads under the on the outside margin where the crown marking appears, Machlokas Rav Nachman of Yirmiyah, Behezbra HaMokos Shehevi Rav Sheshes. They will be arguing regarding the explanation of the source that Rav Sheshes quoted, Bale Mumin Osrin Bekol Shehu, etc. L'Rav Nachman Medubar Begizas Baal Mum. According to Rav Nachman, it refers to the shearings or the hairs of a Baal Mum. And Rav Yirmiyah Bebaal Mum Mamish. It's referring to the animal itself. Now, the Gemara. The Gemara in the bracketed section. Ki Solik Ravin, when Ravin came to Eretz Yisrael, Omra L'Shmaitza Kamed Rav Yirmiyah. He said over Rav Nachman's analysis of the Rav Sheshes source, and he said it in the presence of Rav Yirmiyah. Omar, Rav Yirmiyah responded. He said, Bavloi Tipshoi, the foolish Babylonians. Here a reference to Rav Nachman, who lived in Bovel. He says, Mishum diyasvi ba'ara de chashucha, because you sit in a dark land. Bovel, relative or in contrast with Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, Bovel was considered a dark land. Amri shmaitza de mechashchan, because you sit in a dark land, you say teachings that are dark, murky, unclear, or inaccurate. Did you not hear what Rabbi Chiya bar Abba in the name of Rabbi Yochanan says? That now, before we go further, we have a new marking featuring the diamond. This diamond will highlight the names Rabbi Chiya bar Abba and Rav Asi. They both have an approach to this matter, and the point of difference between them will become clear as we go on in the Gemara. But you'll also notice that we feature the with a double underline the term machlokes, as we have done earlier. So Rav Yirmiyah says, did you not hear that which Rav Chiya bar Abba says in Rav Yochanan? Machlokes, the machlokes between the Tanakama and Rav Yossi in the source that Rav Sheshes brought was b'shebodak v'loy motza. And here, the main words, I don't believe, are obvious in the Gemara itself, but we've written in between the lines that we're talking about a balmum chayim mamish nis'arv v'lo motzoi. That we're talking about a mixture of a balmum animal, blemished living animal that got mixed up with other unblemished sacrifices. And he says that the machloikis between Tanakam and Rav Yossi refers to a case b'shebodak v'lo motza, where you checked out the animals, you were seeking where is the balmum, and you couldn't find it. And the question then would be, can I continue to slaughter the rest of the animals? If we skip momentarily to Rav Asi, just to see the point of difference, there you'll see Rav Asi, Omar Rav Yochanan, machloikis, kishebolak umotza, where you checked out and actually found the balmum. Rav Chiya bar Abba quotes Rav Yochanan, and now we continue in the Gemara, says machlokes b'shebodak v'loy motza. The machlokes in the source that Rav Sheshes brought is the mixture, is the are all the rest of the animals forbidden, is a case where you checked out, we're looking for the balmum animal, and couldn't find it. A balmum got mixed up with other living sacrifices. You checked out, try to find it, and you couldn't find it. V'komifligi b'plukta de Rabmeir v'rabonon. And their machlokes between Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi will parallel another machlokes. Disnan. Shehoya Rabbi Meir Omer. Kol davar shu b'cheskas tuma. Anything that has a status of being tomei, le'oilam hu b'tumasoi ad shi'isvada loch atuma. So if you were to have a mixture of whatever, or some tumah got mixed up or lost, an example that Rashi cites is a case of a field that there had been a burial that took place in the field, and you couldn't find the grave. So I know that it's in a particular field. Let us say I checked the whole field looking for the grave. So Rav Meir says that anything that was Becheskas Tuma, for example, this field, any point in the field might have buried in under that particular point a body. A dead body communicates Tumas Meis. So the field is Becheskas Tuma, has the status of being Tomei, until you know where the Tuma is. Once I can discover the point where the Tuma is, then I say the rest of the field does not have tuma in it. The chachomim omrim bodek ad shemagia lasela oy lebesula. The chachomim are more lenient. They say that you do a checking as good as you can until you get to either bedrock or uncultivated soil. Besula means until virgin soil, where you know that nothing was dug up over there. There's no body buried there, and that's enough. So that. As far as the Tanoim we saw earlier, the Tanakama, who says that the Balmum will aser under all circumstances, he would parallel Rabbi Meir that says that there is a problem until you can find out where the problem is. And if you can't find out where the problem is, so the prohibiting factor remains a problem. The Chachamim will parallel Rabbi Yossi, who says, Rabbi Yossi above had said check out, It means check out to the best of your ability, and if you can't find it, so it indicates that it's not there anymore. And you don't have to actually find where the problem is. That would parallel the Chum here who said, check the field out, even if you can't find where the body is, as long as you checked out to the best of your ability, finding that at every point, wherever you hit bedrock or a virgin soil, that is good enough. Rav Asi Om Rav Yochanan. Rav Asi has a different version of Rav Yochanan. Both Rav Chiya Bar Abba and Rav Asi are commenting within Rav Yochanan. He says, Machlokes kishebonak u'motza. The machlokes above, between Tanakama and Rav Yossi, involves a case where you checked out and you found the Baal Mum. V'komiflegi b'plukto de Rebbe Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. And the machlokes Tanakama and Rav Yossi will parallel these Tanoim that we'll see in the next source. The Sanya, the source says, Sode she'oved bo kever, a field in which a grave became lost. Hanichnas l'soicha tomei, if one entered the field, so he is considered tomei, because he may have stepped over a point that where the grave was. Nimtza bo kever, if a grave is found in that field. Hanichnas l'soicha tomei, anyone who enters the field after the location of a grave was noted, so he is okay. He, as long as he doesn't go obviously over the found grave. Shani Omer, hu kever shavad, hu kever shenimsa. I make the simple association that the kever that I just found is the kever that was originally lost. Divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe reflects a lenient opinion. He says that if you find a grave, then you can assume that's the original grave that was lost. And hence the rest of the field will be mutter, will be a non-source of tumah. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Tibodek, Kol Hasode Kula. Even if you found one grave, maybe this isn't the grave that was lost, so that you have to continue checking the rest of the field. And as far as tying the shittas of Rebbe and Shimon Gamliel into the Tanakama and Rav Yossi that was featured in Rav Sheshes' source, so the Tanakama, who was above in the case of the Baal Mum that got mixed up with the rest, will reflect the shita of Rav Shimon, who is restrictive, who's strict, that namely that even if you found one Baal Mum, maybe there are others. On the other hand, Rebbe will tell you, if he will parallel Rav Yossi above, that says if you find a Baal Mum, then that is probably the original Baal Mum that got mixed in. At this point, the Gemara shuttles between the two shittas of Rav Asi and Rav Chiya Bar Abba. Why did each one not say like the other? Rav Asi, my time alo omar k'Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Why does Rav Asi say that the machlokes above between Tanakama and Rav Yossi is only in a case where you checked out and found the problem? And he doesn't set up the case like Rav Chiya Bar Abba, who said that the machlokes were you checked out and didn't find the problem. According to Rav Chiya Bar Abba, the machlokes was kishebodak v'lo motza. Omar loch, Rav Asi will tell you, bishlamo gabi tuma. I can understand very well in the case of tuma, which is the source that the source involving the field. Amar bo oire v'notla, bo achbor v'notla. In the case of the tuma, where we saw the chachomim were mekil in the source that Rav Chiya Bar Abba brought, in that case, the chachomim will be lenient because we can explain why you don't find the tuma, because it could have been taken away, could have been eaten by mice or by birds. An orev is a bird, achbor a mouse. Elohocha, but in the case of the Baal Mum getting mixed in, Lehecha also, where did the Baal Mum go? And therefore, if you don't find it, if you don't find it, then everyone will agree that there is a problem. So the case of the field with the unfound tumah cannot be parallel to the case of the baal mum that got mixed in. V'idach, Reb Chiya bar Abba, how is it that the chachamim are mekil? How could it be that the chachamim in the tumah case will agree with Reb Yossi in the baal mum case? How can he parallel them? He says, mum oiver have v'itzi, the baal mum that got mixed up originally, that Reb Yossi says yevukar, was simply a transitory mum, and as such it's not a mum kavua, and the reason you couldn't find it is because the mum, the blemish, got healed, and therefore the fact that you checked and couldn't find is reliable. It shows me that there is really no baal mum there. Reb Chiya bar Abba, my time alomer k'Reb Asi. Reb Chiya bar Abba, why is it that he didn't set up the machloikes between the Tanakama and Reb Yossi like Reb Asi does, namely that it's a case where checking was done and you found the problem? Omar loch. So Reb Chiya answers, Bishlamo sode, darko lemikbar bo. I understand well why Reb Shimon Wilbur Gamliel will be machmir in the case of the sodeh, why he says you still have to continue checking, because it's normal to bury in a field. Amrinon, and under those circumstances we say, ki heshi de kovar bohai kovar inish achrina. Just like you found this grave, it's very likely that there are other graves. Ela kochim, but with regard to sacrifices in which a problem gets mixed in, Keva de bot kulon v'kaimi, since you did a checking, darkayu lemepal behu muma. Or let us reread this. Darkayu lemepal bo muma. Once you checked and you couldn't find, are you going to say that it's normal to have mumin around? And under such, it's not normal to have blemishes develop in animals, and therefore, even though Reb Shimon ben Gamliel may be machmir with regard to the field case, he wouldn't necessarily be machmir in a case where you did a checking and couldn't find the baal mum. Are you to suppose that there are other baal mum? V'idach, Reb Asi, who says yes, that even though there was checking, there may be others. Agav de mingichi hadodi, since animals gore one another, shchiach behu mumo, so that even if you did find one baal mum, there may very well be others, and that by finding one, it would not be sufficient. Meisvei, as we said earlier, this question goes back onto Reish Lakish. The Gemara presents a Tanaic source, hatoilish tsemer mibuchor tam, one who removed hair from an unblemished firstborn, even though a mum developed later on and you slaughtered it, the hair that you removed when it was a tam, when it was unblemished, is forbidden. The Gemara infers, time of the tam, why is there a restriction? Because you removed hair from an animal that was without blemish. Ha val mum, we are now at the top of Chav Vav Amud Aleph. However, if the same case had featured hair removed from a blemished animal, shari, the hair would be allowed, afal pi shelo hitiru mumche, even if it had not experienced formal approval by a blemish expert. And that would be a problem for Reish Lakish. You can see we've dashed underlined the main point. Afal pi shelo hitiru mumche, we see a leniency. The Gemara responds and says, Tana, the Tana, kol hecha de lo hitiru mumche, wherever a mumche doesn't issue an allowance, tam kori lei. In other words, it might actually be a blemished animal, but if it didn't receive the mumche approval, it's still called a tam. And therefore, what this source is saying, that if one removed hair from a bechor that did not receive mumche approval, it will be forbidden. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.